Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
DC, you want to get all the Woodruff Road anger out?
Lockdown!
There it is.
God, it sucks right now. It's so bad, man.
Oh,
it took
man.
Me 15 minutes to get from the 385 exit to Fuddruckers.
Which is a baseball throwaway.
Yeah.
Zoe
I can spit farther than that.
Zoe and I were sitting here standing at the window looking at you as
yeah.
you were waiting on the flag.
And I was the first guy waiting to get in. And they were like, yeah, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in, you're good.
Did you put your blinker on?
Yes, I did.
Are you sure?
Yes, I did.
I didn't see a blinker. You may need to get your front
blinker
checked out.
Well, you're the one who wears glasses. What are you talking about?
And I still didn't see a blinker.
I had a blinker on the whole time.
You got to take a shot at me?
Yeah.
You know what? I hope your blinker's out. I do. I hope your blinker's out.
Whatever
after that
you say,
comment.
Booger eater.
I hope. Zoe, can you come back?
Not afraid to go low blow.
Very clearly. Very clearly. All right. Look. I know that this is the useless segment of the show because, like all
and
great things,
we started it out in style.
The Like all great things, when you have 15 minutes to grab people's attention off the top of a show, what you should do is talk about Christina Aguilera and Carson Daly. That's how it's supposed to work. And that's ordinarily what we do on the show today. But between yesterday afternoon, between last night, between this morning, and so far today, unfortunately, we got to dive right into it. And we have to dive right into it because of what has happened on a few different fronts, okay? There's a few things that I have to address with you today. Some of them you may agree with me, some of them you may disagree with me, but before we get any of that going, I want to be abundantly clear. This show is an open forum format. I read you the phone number, the text number, the Twitter handles, the Facebook, my email, and the Discord channel each, almost every single segment. And that is because it is an open forum, open format show. Before you say, screw this guy, I'm not listening to him, call in and have a conversation with me. It turns out you might even like me. You might even be able to have a discussion with me. It's crazy, I know. But I want you to know that this is an open forum format. I have said that since I got here. I maintain that now. I want engaged conversation. I want you to be a part of the show. I want you to call in, to email in, to tweet in, to text in, to jump on the Discord server and talk with us there. I want all of those things to happen when we have, especially on days like today, these deeper conversations that take sports and join it up with real life. As I have said and continue to say, I know I'm beating a dead horse, but at such a weird point in time in human history, I think it is very important to continue to state where you're coming from very clearly, and I will do that now. I do not love talking politics or social instances on this show when there are sports to be talked about. But sports, politics, and the social realities of this country do not exist in separate bubbles, all independent of each other. They all must be combined when you have that discussion raging the way that it is around the country at this point in time. So there's a couple of things that I want to address today on the program. And I will tell you that coming up at 12:40-ish, we will be joined for our senior sports spotlight by Mr. Philip Duke of Easley High School. Very excited to talk to him. That's coming up at around 12:40. But between now and then, a couple of topics that we do have to discuss. Number one, I want to add on to the conversation that took place yesterday between both of our local shows. We talked about it here on this show. Mark Ryan took that ball and ran with it on his show. And I think it generated some very interesting conversation. And that is adding on to the comments of Dabo Swinney. We won't go way down that path, but I do want to address a few things that I heard yesterday from my perspective and open up the floor and give you the opportunity to address them as well. The second topic that we must talk about is one that I have already gotten tons and tons of interaction about. And that is what happened with Drew Brees and some of his Saints teammates and other players and former players from around the league. So instead of the lunch breakdown, as we traditionally do at this segment of the show, we are going to dive right into it. Those two facets of the conversation, because I think that they are both very important. I think they both have sports-centric angles to them. And I think that they are important to where we stand right now as a country and as a community. I think both of those things are very important. So here's what I'd like to do. Diesel, I know we're a little bit earlier than we normally do. I want to go ahead and run to our first break and clear it out of the way. When we come back here in just a minute, I want to address the conversation that took place yesterday regarding Dabo Swinney, an interview that Mark Ryan did on his show. The response of Mark, of Lonzo, and of listeners from around the upstate. I want to add my two cents into the conversation. We'll get Diesel's addition to the conversation. And then I want the phone lines filled up at 844-GSP-ESPN. 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio, all on Twitter. Or if you feel compelled to have a more long-form discussion, you can email me, Rob Brown, at ESPN Upstate. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll address that. We'll have a senior sports spotlight conversation. And then we'll talk about the comments of Drew Brees, the reaction from his teammates and other players from around the league. That's all coming up next. It's Robin Diesel and you on The Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
12:18 here on the broadcast. Keegan texted in, said, what the hell is this well-informed, culturally relevant, and thoughtful conversation? I'm here for the fishing YouTube star, 90s pop and Limp Bizkit conversations. I did not sign up for actual sports talk. Hashtag stick to useless, which is my favorite hashtag so far. Hashtag stick to useless. That might be the official hashtag of the Rob Brown Show moving forward. I got to tell you. That might be. We may have t-shirts printed with the Rob Brown Show logo on the front and hashtag stick to useless on the back. Keegan, I have news for you. Today's show is going to get heavy. All right. It just is. You guys know that I don't typically do heavy shows. I may do a heavy topic here and there. I may do a heavy subject here and there, but today will not be one of those days. Today it's going to be a heavy show, which is why, again, I want to make it abundantly clear. I hope that your reaction is encouraged not to be, I hate this, I'm turning off the channel, and will be, I disagree, let me pick up the phone, let me jump on the laptop, let me chime in, let's have a discussion about this. Because I will tell you, as we're going to talk about with the segment we'll do about Drew Brees in just a little while, I will tell you that conversation and communication are going to be what move all of this forward. All of this that we're going through right now, the COVID, the protest, the social unrest, what is going to move all of that forward is going to be conversation. And I want you to know, if you call in to participate in this show, I will listen to you. I think one thing, Diesel, societally that has happened to us over the past few years, and as much as I do enjoy a good Twitter spat, I think one of the things that has happened to us over the years is that because social media has created this format where we can all express ourselves openly, that a lot of people have forgotten that a conversation has two sides. It is absolutely imperative that as you engage in conversation, it's not just about speaking. You also have to listen. You also have to take into consideration the other person or people that you're having a conversation with. Now, with that being said, let's get into it. We talked and we played earlier in the week, and I'm not going to play him again because it's a lot of conversation, but we talked about Dabo Swinney and the comments that he made regarding the situation with the protest. And Dabo Swinney went out and said, I put my faith out in front. I believe that it is through faith and prayer that we will get through all of this. I said a couple of days ago, and I'll say again, and let me, before I get to that, I'm going to open up here for just a moment in a way that I have never done on the radio before, because I think it is important in order to engage in that conversation, which I am inviting you to do, it is important to put out there where your experience is, where you are coming from, so that people can get an accurate gauge of it. Just like it is important when you have a conversation to understand where the other person is coming from, their life experiences, where they are coming from. I will tell you that because of a number of circumstances that have happened in my life, when it comes to religion, I have zero animosity towards religion. None at all. I think that those who genuinely have faith and believe do a lot of good. They do a lot of good. And I support, endorse, have no issue with that. I am not a deeply religious person. And so where I'm coming from is zero issue. None. And again, I need to tell you, I feel especially vulnerable right now. I am putting myself out there to you in a way I have never done on the radio before. But in what I'm engaging with in all this conversation, and where I'm coming from with all this conversation, I think it's important. Based on a series of my lives, I am not a deeply religious person. No issue with it. No problem with it. It's just not me. It's not my background. It's not where I am in my life right this second, okay? So when I hear we want to go out there and use faith and prayer to fix the problem, I respect that. But action needs to be taken. I had a conversation yesterday on Twitter with a black gentleman who I have been friends with. I say friends. I've known him through Twitter for years. We've never met. But despite never having met, I still consider the guy a friend. We have had some very entertaining conversation back and forth. And he was following along with the show yesterday that Mark and Lonzo were doing. And when the conversation about prayer and faith came up, he wrote me back. And he said, I just want you to know as a host that I am deeply religious. I am a Christian. I am a believer and strong in my faith. But he said to me, and I think that this is an interesting take on that. He said to me, black folks have been praying for this to stop for decades. And it is not. Action, along with faith, is what will fix this. And that is the point from the mouth of an African-American Christian who asked me not to reveal his name on the air. But that was the thoughts delivered to me by a Christian man yesterday and an African-American. That black folks have been putting in prayer and faith for years. Action along with thoughts and prayer is what will fix the issues that are so deep-seated that they are causing civil unrest. I don't believe for a second that anyone was attacking Dabo Swinney for his faith. I certainly was not, and I want that to be abundantly clear. I have no issue with it. I know that's important to his life. I know that it is his guiding force, and I don't care. Good for him for having that level of passion about a thing. I respect that. I have no issue with it. But as I am getting from friends of mine who are African American, who are black, as one said to me yesterday, and others have said in different words, but for whatever reason, this one stood out to me. Having faith in prayer is a good thing. It is a good thing. But black folks have that too, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Action alongside prayer and faith is what will move things forward. Right? So when a devoutly Christian black man tells me that, how am I supposed to respond? That, I think, is what people are talking about with Dabo Swinney. That, I think, is what people are talking about when they said Dabo did well in coming out and Dabo has done well in allowing his players like Trevor Lawrence to express their thoughts publicly. A lot of players haven't done that. Hell, Florida State right now is having a problem because Mike Norvell, their new head coach, came out and said that he spoke to the players about the death of George Floyd and all of the issues that have led to this level of civil unrest. And now he's got a player in Marvin Wilson who came out today and said he did not do that. He did not speak to us. He did not engage with us, to the point that these players are saying we are sitting out. To the point that he has a group of FSU players that have said we will not be participating in voluntary workouts until we as a team have a conversation about this. And calling his head coach. Here's the thing. Diesel, you ever heard this before? A group of players are calling their head coach a liar. In public. In the public eye. Dabo has not had that problem at all. Because he's letting his players speak out. He is speaking out. The only thing that has been said about Dabo Swinney is that just saying, I have faith it will stop, isn't far enough out there. It's not strong enough. It doesn't feel like it has conviction behind it. Or it does have conviction behind it, but not in a way that, again, this is me speaking. And I have told you guys, I do not speak on behalf of the African American community. That community needs to have its own voices that are heard by the masses. But I can tell you what was said to me by an African-American Christian. And that was, my people have faith and prayer, and yet here we are with nothing changed. So as an outsider to that community, as somebody on the outside of that community looking in, I don't have any contempt for Dabo Swinney. None at all. The majority of people who have had interactions with Dabo Swinney have said he is a good man. And I believe them. I've not interacted with the guy. I hope to have him on this show at some point in the future to talk to him. Everyone I've talked to that's had those personal interactions have said he is a good man. And I believe them. This is not an indictment on Dabo Swinney's character. I can't speak to Mark's interview guest yesterday. I can't say that that was or was not an attack on Dabo's character from him. I can tell you my comments that seem to spur that conversation in some regard are not an indictment on Dabo Swinney's character or person. Not in the least. The point that's being made is solely and specifically that I don't think faith without action works. Especially when you have the weight behind your position that Dabo Swinney does. So there's my take on how all that went down yesterday. I would love yours. 844-GSP-ESPN. 844-GSP-ESPN. Tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Text me 71307. Start with ESPN. Keegan text in. At ESPN, as an evangelist, believer, and real person, I agree 100%. Yes, I'm white. But in the book of James, it says, faith without works is dead. You got to walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. And I think that's exactly right. If your mission is to spread the word, that book that has been referenced by Dabo Swinney, by Keegan, the Bible itself says, faith without action is dead. Direct quote. I think that is the point. It's not an indictment on Dabo Swinney, not in the least. I think he's a good man. And I'll be honest, I think Dabo Swinney is going further than a lot of other college coaches are, and Clemson should be proud of that. Let's make that clear. Letting his players openly speak out is further than a lot of college coaches would go to allow them to communicate, and I respect the hell out of that. But Dabo himself, I don't think went far enough. Agree, disagree. 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's take our break. When we come back in just a minute, we will be joined by our senior sports spotlight winner for the day, Mr. Philip Duke of Easley High School. That's coming up next on The Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is something we've been doing for a few weeks and will continue to do moving forward. That is honoring our high school seniors from around the upstate who have had their senior year just thrown into pandemonium because of the pandemic. Today, we visit Easley High School, and that is where we find graduate Philip Duke, who's on the phone line with us. Philip, it's great to have you on the Rob Brown Show today. Good to talk to you, man. Appreciate you taking a few minutes, pal.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Absolutely, man. Let's start with this. How you holding up, buddy? I know your senior year kind of thrown into whack based on the pandemic and everything, but with everything that's been going on, how you holding up? What's the most unique class of all time? What's it been like for you?
It's a little difficult because I am big on interacting with everybody. I try to talk to as many people as I can at school. And, you know, when I don't have class, I kind of roam the halls to try to talk to people. So it's been kind of tough not being able to just talk to new people all the time.
Yeah, I get it. I'm an extrovert as well, and it's very interesting for those of us who, you know, have been going through the quarantine, and that's lifted, and we're all kind of getting back to normal slowly but surely lately. I know exactly how you feel. From the standpoint of interacting with your friends, how have you been handling that? Have you found that, you know, Zoom and FaceTime have taken off? Have you guys been finding unique ways to spend time? What have you been doing to get that itch out?
A lot of Zoom and FaceTime with a bunch of the, you know, people that I usually talk to a lot. You know, a lot of the football guys, they'll end up calling me every now and then just to be like, you know, especially the juniors talking about how much they missed spring football.
No doubt about it. Let's talk a little bit about you and your football career. You know, you have one of the interesting ones that I've found so far. I've been playing football and basketball since you were in elementary school, played high school football. Your dad says you bounced up and down the depth chart after the latest coaching change there at Easley. But one thing you got to do was different than pretty much any other football player. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Getting to coach the JV, it was so it started when we got the new staff and they started kind of implementing the new plays, and they didn't expect us to remember them all, much less have really in-depth questions the second time we met for kind of install. You know, I started, you know, talking through it and some of the guys were struggling. And before even like some of the coaches were like, hey, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. I was like, hey, just do this. And, you know, and then I started asking questions and they were like, you actually kind of know what you're talking about. And throughout 7-on-7s and kind of helping the other quarterbacks and the receivers through, you know, this is what you're looking for, you know. And throughout all this stuff, they were kind of like, you actually know what you're talking about. And like, do you have an interest in coaching? I was like, yeah, I do. And then about a week before our first JV game happened, our offensive coordinator and quarterback coach came to me and was like, hey, I would like to give you the opportunity to come kind of like help coach, be the quarterback guy on the field since I'm going to be in the box. And, you know, you can kind of hear what we talk about on the headset and look at what we're trying to do when we're looking at the defense and all that. And so it was really fun. I had a great time. And throughout the season, they kind of, you know, the more I listened and did all that, they got a little more faith in me. They let me call a couple plays every now and then. And I just had a blast. I loved it.
You said in your email to me to set up this interview, quote, I would help install our offensive plays because I am a nerd for stuff like that, end quote. I have to tell you, man, you can call yourself a nerd or whatever you want to call yourself, but it is pretty impressive that the coaches would not only turn to you, you describe yourself as kind of a GA role, but man, I got to tell you, you sound like an assistant coach. Is that kind of the direction you want to take everything?
That is the direction I want to take everything.
What is it that got you into that aspect of football, right? Because I think as high schoolers, most all of us love to play and wanted to be out there and throwing and catching and running and tackling and all that. But what is it about breaking down tape and analyzing schemes and setting up different schemes against different opponents? What is it about that attracts you?
Well, how it started with me was I was never the fastest guy. And easily we have struggling offensive line. So being a quarterback, what I would have to do is kind of know more about defenses and, you know, kind of know the weak spots. So in doing that, I was kind of like, this is kind of interesting. Like I really like trying to figure out what's going on, because I would have to be more of a, I got to get the ball out of my hands quick than be able to scramble around and do something. And then in doing that, I just kind of snowballed into learning about more and more stuff.
What's that like? What's that experience like? I mean, you know, it's one thing to be out there as a coach. And I've talked to coaches, high school coaches, who, you know, they're older kids or even adults that are out there, and they talk about how you have to earn the respect of the team as a coach. And it doesn't matter whether you're a position coach, assistant coach, or the head coach, you've got to earn the respect of the team. What's it like to be a coach and to be coaching your own peers? I mean, I know JV's a couple of years below you, I'm assuming. You were coaching probably guys that were one or two years behind. But do you felt like you earned their respect? And if so, how did you do that? Because that's a really interesting concept to me.
Well, I think I earned their respect right when the coaches got there. Like before I even got kind of the coaching spot, was I told them all, like if they were struggling, that they could grab me after or before practice if they needed help with anything. Like I'd draw it up on the board for them, talk through it. I would give them cheat sheets and stuff, like here, you know, here's what you're supposed to be doing on all of this stuff, and like just kind of helping them whenever I could. And then the other part that I think helped is that I was doing all the lifting with them. I wasn't just telling them to do this stuff. I would go out there and then do it with them.
That's awesome. We are talking with Philip Duke of Easley High School about his career there at Easley. So you're a high school student athlete slash coach, which you're the first one of our Senior Sports Spotlight nominees that has had that title stuck onto the back of their name. As a coach at that level and wanting to kind of take that in the new direction, what are some of the lessons that you've taken away from being a student slash athlete slash coach? What has it taught you that you think you will take with you in the next facet of your life?
Patience goes a long way with the both ways, because I feel like going both ways, I've seen, you know, the coaches lose their patience pretty quickly with the players, and I've seen the players lose their patience pretty quickly with the coaches, and they want the same thing, and I don't think they always understand that because they lose their patience and quit listening to one another.
Very nice. Talking with Philip Duke of Easley High School. You were also named Mr. Green and White by the rest of your class. Talk to me a little bit about that award and what characteristics you have that you think that your fellow students saw in you to make you that award winner.
Well, that award is just, it's given to a guy and a girl every year in the senior class. It's voted on. And then it basically means, you know, year embodies what Easley High School is. And I think this past year, I didn't drive to school. So I had a lot of free periods because it was my senior year. And our classmates are very bad about picking their stuff up after lunch. And we only have two or three custodians in there to try to pick everything up. So I hardly ever had class during the lunch time. So I would go in there and I would help the janitors pick up all the trash and stuff. And I feel like some of my peers noticed, and some of the teachers, because they vote on it too, noticed. And during my free periods, when I walk around the hall, I go to different teachers, see if they need me to help make copies or anything like that. Just try to help people in general and kind of give a helping hand all the time.
Very nice. Philip Duke from Easley High School talking with us here on our Senior Sports Spotlight. So with all that being said, you've got one of the most interesting stories we heard from any senior so far. What's next for Philip Duke? Where are you headed after this, and what plans do you have for continuing your life after high school?
I'm going to go to Greenville Tech for a year and help out the new coaching staff, because we've got another coaching staff at Easley. And he had the same – he went to Greenville Tech for a year and coached at Easley for a year. So I talked to him about that, and he seems pretty enthusiastic to have me come and help during that year.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. And so do you want to take that, and is your goal to become a high school coach? Do you want to work your way up to college? Could we see Philip Duke coaching an NFL team in a few years?
I would love that. But right now I'm just focused on working on it and hopefully working my way as high as I can.
I love it, man. You got a great head on your shoulders, Philip. You sound like a very impressive young man. And I will tell you, from somebody who has been around coaches for a long, long, long time, both as an athlete and now in a broadcaster's role, one of the things that I have seen is there are so many young coaches who are in a rush to get up the ladder as quickly as they can, to get to the highest position they can get as quickly as they can. I think it is spot on for you and very impressive and something that I admire, that you really want to learn the systems. You want to get the aspects of coaching that a lot of other young coaches pass up on. Man, I think that's going to serve you very, very well in your coaching career in the future.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome, man. Philip Duke, congratulations, buddy. You are a very impressive young man. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to be on the show with us today. That is your Senior Sports Spotlight, Philip Duke of Easley High School, joining us here on the broadcast. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll get some sports in here for just a few minutes, because, you know, we can't go heavy all 3 hours. When we come back to top off and start up the next hour, we'll get into the Drew Brees discussion. Join us on the phone lines at 844-GSP-ESPN. Text me 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Email me robbrown@espnupstate.com if you got something more long form for me. Stick around. Rob Diesel, you, the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yes, it is. Rob Diesel and you right here on ESPN Upstate. Good news coming out of the sporting world today, as two big announcements. Well, I say good news, depending on where you stand on it. First off, from the world of golf. Now, remember, when I have these conversations, the point is I'm approaching this from, maybe you're not a huge golf enthusiast, but when you get stories like these coming out, maybe it makes you a little more confident about all of the other sports. We are still months away from the scheduled Ryder Cup event set to take place in September. There have been growing concerns of plenty of rumors that tournament officials may elect to play the event either without any fans or delaying it until down the road until fans are allowed again. But Steve Stricker, captain of the U.S. team, recently joined a golf radio show called the Golf Effect Radio Show and said, quote, "So far, we're planning it as a go, like we're going to have it. There's some obstacles that we're going to have to face, I think. The confidence of the people and the corporate people, it's going to come down to probably the safety." And who knows, right? They're going to have to make a decision here probably within the next 2 or 3 weeks, end quote. But Steve Stricker, captain of the U.S. team, has said he thinks that the Ryder Cup will be a go in September. Now, we have had multiple golfers, including Rory McIlroy, come out and say that the Ryder Cup without fans would be a snoozer. And I actually agree with that. The Ryder Cup is one of two golfing events where the fans make the event. The Ryder Cup and President's Cup are in that group. And then the Waste Management Open in Phoenix. Those two events are the events that are made by the fans, by the environment. And without the fans in the environment, those two golf tournaments just become regular golf, which is fine. Regular golf is great. I have argued in the past, I actually would love to see some PGA Tour events without fans just to see what these guys play like when they're playing a regular course like you and I play when we go play golf. I'm all in for that. But the Ryder Cup needs fans. It is probably one of the handful of few events that I say isn't the same event without fans. That being said, we turn our attention to the state of Texas. Now, Texas has been dealing with a second wave of the coronavirus after they were basically the first step, or the first state, excuse me, to begin a reopening process. Now, a week after, a revised decision allowed stadiums in Texas to open to fans at 25% capacity, provided they were outside stadiums. Republican Governor Greg Abbott said yesterday the attendance policy has now been raised to 50% in an effort to further open the state economy. Abbott's order for phase three of the state's reopening covers professional, collegiate, and other similar sporting events. And he said, quote, "Stadiums, whether it be where the Mavericks play or the Rangers play or the Cowboys play, will be able to seat at 50% capacity." Now, IndyCar is set to open its season at Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth on Saturday, but track president Eddie Gossage said last week that, even under the new rule, the Genesis 300 will still not include fans. He said, quote, "Nobody wants to have the stands filled with fans more than me, but we're just not in a position to do that yet," end quote. But now, will events start moving towards Texas? Now, on the same, I guess I should say on the other side of that coin, FC Dallas had resumed their training under the policy. Well, they announced earlier in the week that a player has tested positive for the novel coronavirus. The Dallas medical staff has been working directly with the COVID-19 task force to treat the player, who is observing isolation protocol and says he is feeling well. As of now, no other members of the FC operation front office or Toyota Stadium staff where FC Dallas plays have been identified as positive at this time, according to FC Dallas VP of Communications Gina Miller. What does this mean? We'll have to see. We'll continue to watch it play out. But Texas now saying that outdoor stadiums can seat at 50% capacity. Some sports, including IndyCar, saying, nope, not yet. But will, for instance, some of the other teams in the area decide to take that? We'll talk about that. When we come back on the flip side of this break, we'll get into the discussion about Drew Brees. The phone lines are open at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Back after this, Rob Diesel, you, The Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.